what you've read this past week. And understanding and looking at and discovering Jesus Christ in so many different ways. So we're looking through the Bible saying, I'm looking for Jesus. Today we're going to continue that line of thinking, but it's kind of like taking one grain of sand off of the ocean seashore to drop in this message. Excuse me, because there's so many more, so much of what God has said in the words and all that you've read. Well, we're going to be focusing on this thought that God will provide, but I got a probing question for you. What do you have that can change the world? Exactly. Faith, Jesus, what you have. It's not your money. It's who lives in your heart. So thinking about, when you think about this, literally you have something within you that can change the world. That's an awesome responsibility, but I think about this probing thing, and I think about the Word, and listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 17. The Scripture says, "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, or assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Think about that. What's impossible to you? Nothing. Nothing will be impossible to you. That's the reason why we can honestly say you have something in you, within you, that can literally change the world. Let's see how all these pieces fit together. So I got to ask you, though, how's your Bible reading going? Give me another slide up there, Larry. How's your Bible reading? What experiences are you having? Excuse me. Is it an adventure to you? What about enthusiasm? What about discovery? Now, if you were to choose one, which one would you choose? I mean, you can have them all. But which one would you choose? Discovery? Adventure? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We're all reading the same thing, and for some of us, it's an adventure. For some of us, it's enthusiasm. I won't call Russell's name, but he was talking about reading this, and it's kind of enjoying this journey that it's different. Because we're on this journey. We're experiencing this thing. So coming up, so when you're on this journey, though, I've got to forewarn you. During the journey, your faith is going to be tested. At some point, everybody's faith is tested. If it's not tested, it's not true. And when we begin to look at this, the test of faith that you and I have, we've got to keep this thought in mind. God tests us so that our faith may be strengthened. God never tests you for failure. God always tests you so that your faith may be strengthened. Secondly, Satan always tempts you so that your faith may be destroyed or weakened. Sometimes it's hard to determine, is this a test from God or is this a temptation from Satan? When it's from God, always, always, so that your faith may be strengthened. Do you always pass the test? No. But can you always pass the test? Yes. Does God always expect you to pass the test? Yes. God always, when God gives you a test to strengthen your faith, He wants you to succeed. He wants your faith to be stronger. And that test can come in many, many different ways. Well, when you look at this test, let's look in Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to look at the test of faith and see how this thing really develops. One grain of sand off of Destin's beach, we come into, we come into Luke chapter 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. What do you know automatically? Who did the testing? God did it. So if God does it, He's got a reason. And said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I shall tell you. Jeremy, take Aubrey to the mountain and offer her as a burnt offering. Mitch, take Dak to the mountain I'm going to show you and offer him as a burnt offering. That's real. That's a test. And I'm thankful that I've never had to go through a test like that. But it's always going to be the right test for you. This was the right test for Abraham. God will always give you the right test for you to strengthen your faith. And it'll never be, God will never test you beyond what you're capable of accomplishing. Never. God will always provide a way for you to accomplish that. Well, let's see how this thing really begins to develop. He said in verse 2, he said, Take now your son, your only son in whom you love, go to the Mount of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. Well, when you're looking at this, taking this test, where's Jesus in this picture? Remember, when we're reading through the Scripture, we want to ask the question, where's Jesus? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did God the Father ask Abraham to do something he was not willing to do? God said to him, I'll make this offering, your promised child. And for God the Father, it was the only begotten Son. You see how this picture begins to show right here? So do you believe that God will test your faith? And then secondly, do you believe that you will stand the test? I think we need to come to this conclusion right now, folks. I will be able to stand the test. If you go into the test doubting, then James says you're just a wishy-washy. But when you enter into this test, you go into this test saying, I'm going to stand with Jesus. Now, the right place for the test. Look in verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took his two young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. What was that place? That place was Mount Moriah. God told him where this. How do we know when where the testing is going to take place? Because God's going to tell you. God's going to make known this testing to you. This is not going to be, oh, it just slipped up on me. No, you're going to know, and we will recognize when we are sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal this is a test. Whoa. So it's the right place. But where do you see Jesus in verse 3? Let me read these verses to you. In verse 4 it says, "Then the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." How do we see Jesus in this picture? God the Father saw the place afar off that His Son was going to be sacrificed. 2,000 years into the future, He saw the place. And it was on this mount that it is said that the temple was built. It's in this area that there was a place called Golgotha, Calvary, the skull. It was in this area, looking afar off, where the Father loved you so much that He was going to sacrifice His Son just for you. 2,000 years later, the Father sacrificed. Well, our faith is going to be tested at the cross. Let's question this. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? Okay, that's the easy one. Do you believe that God looked into the future 2,000 years after He told Abraham to the place where God the Father was going to sacrifice His Son? And then do you believe, going back 4,000 years, God knew about you and gave you this picture? This is what I'm going to do for you. Well, we've got the right test, don't we? We've got the right place where the testing is going to take place. Let's look at the right promise. Look in verse 5. "And Abraham said to the young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder.'" Don't you think he's southern? He's going to go yonder? Okay. Hey, I like it. Okay. I understand that. Go, you got it. "The lad and I will go yonder and do what? And worship." Now, here's the kicker. Read verse, the latter part of this verse. "And we will come back to you." Now, I gotta stop here for a moment. What are the promises of the test? Here's a statement of his faith. And so, yeah, I believe God, right? I believe God's word. And then number 3, I will believe God will do what God said He would do. Where was Abraham's faith? What did he say? In these words, "We will come back." That's faith. Did God tell him to sacrifice his son? Was Abraham going to do it? But right here he said, "We will come back." Now, one of the pictures I want you to see, where were they headed? They were headed to a worship service. They were going to a mount to worship God. Where do you see Jesus here? Where do you see Jesus? That's it. Jesus came back from the skull. from Golgotha, from Calvary, Mount Moriah, this area, this region right here, Jesus came back and listened to these words. Matthew 28:6. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Acts 1:11. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Did Abraham believe that we would come back? Do you believe that Jesus will come back? And if you believe that Jesus will come back, does that affect the way you live today? Do you have something within you that can change the world? And are you living that life based on the promise? Okay. We got the right test. We got the right place. We've got the right promise. We're going to come back. And I got a surprising verse for you at the end for that one. What about the right provisions? Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. I got that. See, boys, when the heavy burden's what daddies are supposed to do, they're supposed to put it on you. Okay, all right. You got that, Dak, right? Okay, good. All right, so he laid it on his son, and he took fire in his hand and a knife, and the two men went together. But Isaac said to Abraham, his father, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb of the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Hey, Dad! Are we forgetting something? Do you think it ever crossed his mind? I'm the one? Do you think it ever crossed Abraham's mind? You're the one? Don't you know that was a long walk for Abraham? Going up that mountainside, he knew what he had to do. He was not crazy. He had talked with God, and he knew this was God's will. And Abraham said, God's going to provide the lamb. Well, let me ask you this question. What truth is revealed in asking the question? Hey, was Isaac right in asking this question? Sure he was. Dad, we're missing something. So many times when children ask questions, truth comes out. And because Isaac asked this question, today you and I hang on each every word that Abraham said. But let's break it down real quick. My son, God will provide. What do you know about God? Our provider. Okay, you got it? My son, God will provide. Our provider. Number two. My son, God will provide for himself. Who's going to be worshipped? God is. God is going to be worshipped. God will, excuse me, God will provide for himself. But then look at this last one. Excuse me. My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering. I think we can see at least three characters right here. Our provider, the Holy Spirit, is pointing us in that direction. Our worship is for the Father. The Lamb is Jesus Christ. So the question is, where do you find Jesus in this verse? John 1:29, over into the New Testament. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So right here in this verse, we look forward 2,000 years. We look back 4,000 years. God provided the Lamb. Revelation 13:8, "And all who dwell on the earth worship Him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." 4,000 years ago, did Jesus know He was the Lamb? And here He gives us a picture. The right provisions that God will provide. Well, next we come up and we see the right provisions. Right worship with the right provisions. Verse 9, "Then they came to the place where God told him. Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood on it." And then the most amazing words right here. "He bound Isaac, his son." I wonder. I don't have an answer for this. But I wonder if Abraham said, "Son, stick out your arms." I don't know the answer. I know that Abraham's 100 years old. What I do know, "And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." You've oftentimes heard when a man draws a gun, his life is changed. Whether he fires it or not, his life is changed. Right here, Abraham went for the knife and drew the knife. His life was changed. In his heart, at this moment, Isaac was as good as dead. And he drew the knife. Verse 13. Then Abraham lifted up his... Verse 11. "But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham!' And he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, your son of the promise, your son of the future, your son in which the nations of the earth would be blessed, your son, the one that was born when you was 100 years old and your wife was 90 years old. You have not withheld your son.'" Let's review this. The right place where God told him, "For God so loved the world," the right place. The right purpose, offer a sacrifice, "that He gave His only begotten Son." The right provisions, "He laid Isaac on the altar upon the wood, so that whosoever believeth in Him." And the right promise, "Abraham stretched out his hand to slay his son." shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I asked you, where do we see Jesus? Now, there's an ace in the hole if you play cards. I want you to take a moment and look into Abraham's life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham had the faith that after he cut his son's throat, laid him on that altar, that God could raise him up from the dead. That's the kind of faith that changes the world. No, he didn't have to take the knife and slice the throat, because the Scripture says in verse 14, let me back up here just a little bit. Verse 13, "Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son." All the time, Abraham was anguishing over life of his son. God had already provided the sacrifice. All the time that we anguish over our sins, God has already provided the sacrifice. Our sins paid for by the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So the conclusion is this: God is able. Here's the conclusion, verse 14 and following. "And Abraham called the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.' So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." Abraham returned to the young men. We will return. God provided what was needed to pass the test. God provided the testing along with the desired outcome. God blessed Abraham following the test. God is blessing us today because of the obedience to Abraham. What you have can change the world. The faith of Abraham 4,000 years ago has impacted your life. Abraham's faith became sight. when Abraham returned with the young men. So here's the test. Here's the invitation. We're about to stand and sing now. When you go through the test, trust God in the testing of your faith. So I'm asking you during this invitation, many of you are going through a test now. And I'm asking you to trust God. In the fire of the testing, run toward God and not away from Him. Abraham went to Mount Moriah. He didn't turn and go another direction. When your faith is tested, go to the mount. Go to Calvary. Mount Moriah. Go to the Lord. Number two, act in obedience to His prompting. In the first verse, He called out to Abraham. And Abraham said, "Here I am." In the verse that we read, after he had drawn his knife, and the angel of the Lord cried out, you know what he said? "Here I am." So today, are you saved? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Are you saying to Jesus, "Here I am"? Lastly, come to commit to join with others in the testing of their faith. Have you committed to a church in the presence, in your presence, worshiping in God? Have you joined together with a group of believers? By the way, all of you are Christians. We're going to be together for eternity. I know that's frightening for some of you. So let's love one another now, because we're going to be together a long time. Let's love one another. Join up with a group of people who are having their faith tested. And we are, each one of us. So, what do I do? I trust God. What do I do? I act in obedience. What do? I commit to join with others. What do? I say, "Jesus, here I am. Take my life. Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus, and He will come into your heart this morning, right now." Let's pray. Father, as we come into your presence, we come with faith. The faith that Abraham believed that God would raise up Isaac even from the dead. We have that faith today, Lord, that even though we will die, that God will raise us up. And we will spend eternity with you. So, Father, if anyone does not have that faith today, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to call them, to ignite, so that they might have that little seed of faith to come to know you as Lord and Savior. To come and say, "Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I trust you." Many other needs are before us. So Lord, while we stand and sing, may you be glorified and we worship you here in this place, as Abraham worshiped you on Mount Moriah. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as people make decisions.